first reading this morning was Psalm 23, probably one of the best known, if not the best known, and most loved psalms that we have in the Hebrew Bible, in the Psalter, most of which, it is thought, were written by King David. It's not a coincidence that Psalm 23 features in many funeral services, since it is a beautiful reminder that God is and will be there for us in bad times as well as in good, at the beginning of the day and at its end. Goodness and kindness will follow us all the days of our life. All of this offers us great hope, for no matter what difficulties we may encounter, we can make the decision to turn in faith to God for help. There we will find his goodness and kindness following us. Not perhaps always in the ways we expect, but always in the ways we need. Our second reading today was from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus says he is the good shepherd. I have cousins in North Wales, and one of them is a hill farmer. She inherited the farm, the sheep farm, from her father. He now helps her, and she keeps about 500 sheep on a hill, on this hill farm. From my earliest years, I remember going up to North Wales and seeing sheep on many of the hills grazing. Sheep farming in the Middle East is, of course, different to sheep farming in Northern Europe. For one thing, the terrain is different, and the temperature is different. When Jesus says a little further on in John's Gospel, "I am the door of the sheepfold," we need to understand this statement in the context of not just sheep farming in the Middle East today, but in the context of sheep farming at the time of Jesus himself. When I realised what a typical sheep pen of the time would have looked like, I wonder if we could have the picture of the sheep pen here. Thank you. That's lovely. When I realised that, I began to understand a bit better what Jesus meant. Because, of course, unlike the fields in North Wales, there we have the stone structure enclosing the sheep, and Jesus there at the gate. And there he is again in a different depiction. I am the gate for the sheep. And once again we see the sheep, the shepherd, as the actual door itself. I am the door to the sheep. They hear my voice and follow me. That's lovely. Thank you very much for that. So I began to understand a bit better what Jesus was saying about himself as being the door or the gate of the sheep pen or the sheep fold. Nothing would be able to get through to harm the sheep because he would be there to prevent it from entering. And none of the sheep would be able to wander outside the sheepfold into harm's way because, again, he would be there to make sure the sheep stayed where they were safe. We remember that shepherds at that time were despised. They were looked down on. Luke's Gospel, with its emphasis on the poor and the outcasts, gives us the account of the message of Jesus' birth being communicated first of all to shepherds in the fields with their flocks. Here in his Gospel, John reminds us of that link which Jesus has, and hence also God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, with the poor and marginalised of society. Jesus underlines for us that he is the good shepherd of the sheepfold. He is not, as we read a little further on in John's Gospel, the hired hand, who might run away when danger may approach, such as in the form of a wolf. We are like the sheep, who, as Psalm 23 tells us, are the sheep led into green pastures, and we should not be afraid. Troubles may come, but Jesus our Lord, the Good Shepherd, will be there to help and protect us. He tells the disciples, and therefore us too, that he, the Good Shepherd, knows his flock, and they know him, in the same way that he knows God the Father, and God the Father knows him. We, as Jesus' followers, are part of that relationship of being known, and hence of being loved and cared for. Later in John's Gospel, reference is made to God the Holy Spirit too, who assists us in responding to that divine love and care by speaking in our hearts and minds, if we will only turn to him in trust. But back to our Gospel passage for this morning. Jesus is telling his closest friends, the disciples, that he has the other sheep from a different fold, which he must gather together to join them as well. These sheep will also hear his voice, so there will eventually be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus also says that the disciples, and again all of us too, will be those for whom he lays down his life. He will lay down his life for the sheep, and this, of course, we remembered at Easter on Good Friday. This year, I was sent a very interesting small white cross at Easter. It contains seeds ready for germination and flowering. They are embedded into the fabric of the special paper from which it's made. The instructions which came with it say that to allow the seeds to germinate, you have to tear up the cross, soak the torn up pieces overnight in water, and then plant them in ordinary earth. I felt that all this was so symbolic of Jesus' death and resurrection that I wanted to preserve this special little cross instead, to show you, as it's another visible reminder of the hope we have for our future. And I'll just get it out here. You may not be able to see it that clearly, but there it is. And those near the front may be able to see that it in fact has lots of little seeds imprinted in it. And if you want a closer look, I'll be at the back of the church at the end of the service. So the idea is that you have the cross, you tear it up, you soak the pieces in water overnight, and you then plant the pieces into ordinary earth, which will then allow the seeds to flower, to germinate and flower. So I'm keeping that as a very special cross. And so we have hope. We have hope for our future, both in this world of time and beyond this world in eternity. Of course, we remember Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection every Sunday of the year, but we are especially still recalling them during this Eastertide, the weeks which follow Easter. It is important, indeed it is imperative, to emphasise the cross and the resurrection equally, because one accompanied the other. All of this must surely mean that there is great hope for the whole world, as we said earlier. Hope for all humanity. The sheep from the other sheepfold are included in what Jesus has accomplished. What he has shown lies ahead of us. New life beyond death. We don't need to earn it, and indeed we can't earn it. It's a free gift. We simply need to believe in it. In the meantime, while we await this transformation with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are asked to do our best to live according to God's holy laws. And so the overwhelming message of this great Easter season is that we can all have a future hidden in God, but that it will be revealed to each of us in eternity. Let us pray that we will always strive to live with the promise of this new life firmly in mind. Amen.